This morning I do want to conclude, as I told the children, conclude the sermon series on Nehemiah. Thank you for being patient as we've taken these 6 weeks to look at this Old Testament character, this Old Testament man of God, and his story from the Old Testament book by the name Nehemiah. Now remember where we've come. Nehemiah was the wine taster for the king in Babylon. Not a bad job, but he heard the report that things were not good in Jerusalem. Ezra had gone back. They had rebuilt the temple, but things weren't good. The walls of the city were in decay and were falling apart. The people's hearts and spirits were low. Nehemiah had such a passion for those in Jerusalem. He went to the king, and the king saw his sadness, and the king said, "What's up?" And he said, "I need to go home. I need to go home to repair the walls for my people." And the king said, "Go. Not only go, but go, and I will help fund your way." And Nehemiah makes his way back to Jerusalem. He was such a man of passion for his city. But his passion didn't just jump out there by itself. He began to pray. What would he do? What would he do when he got to Jerusalem? And so his passion led to his prayer, and his prayers led to an action plan of how they would restore the walls of Jerusalem. Now it took all of them. They needed to all be in this together. And of course, trials and tribulations came. Folks began to question, began to ridicule. Then there was all type of junk that happened in the midst of trying to do what he knew God wanted him to do. And he had such courage, and his courage continued, and he persevered. And finally, when we last looked at Nehemiah, he had finished building the wall. And so we could end the sermon there. The wall's finished. That's why he went, build the wall, and now the wall's done, chapter 6. But there's more. Brings us to the final characteristic you may have figured out by now with the children and even with the choir anthem. It's the word celebration. Celebrate. It's time to celebrate. The wall has been completed. Celebration. Now, we don't always do that so good in life. I'm afraid we don't do it so well in the church either. To celebrate. We often don't pause long enough to celebrate what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. As Baptists, we're really bad about celebration. We're afraid we might look like Episcopalians or Catholics or Methodists. What if we celebrate too much? Well, as Baptists, we're learning to celebrate more, and aren't we glad? You know, it saddens me that my children, 24 and 22, no longer watch the cartoon Dora the Explorer. Some of you kids know that. You used to watch that, didn't you? Austin, you watched Dora the Explorer. Luke, Walker, and Dan still watch it every week in the office. Dora the Explorer, this neat little kid who goes through all the adventures of life, wanting to accomplish every episode. Her task would be to get from the playground back home, or maybe to get from the playground to babysit her little sister, or sometime how to get over to the stadium to play soccer. But every episode, Dora the Explorer won. And each time at the end of the episode, Dora and her friends would celebrate what they had accomplished. And they would sing, "We did it, we did it, we did it, yeah." That should be the choir anthem every Sunday as we leave worship. Choir, John, teach them. We did it. We did it. We did it. Yeah. Deacons after deacons meeting, and Ernest after finance meeting, we should go down the FLC banister saying, "We did it. We did it. We did it. Yeah." But if we don't, just come to Walker or Dan's office and watch the cartoon with them weekly. We need to celebrate. Take time to enjoy what we've done, to recognize who helped us accomplish the many tasks of life, to celebrate what God has accomplished in us and through us. Celebration needs to be a part of our life. It needs to be a part of the church. Celebration must be a part of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need more celebration. I believe it's a biblical mandate. We love to take biblical concepts and mandates, and again, as Baptists, it was usually the negative ones. Don't. But what about all the times that the Scripture says, do celebrate? Now, the Old Testament especially is filled with stories of celebration. The Israelites got this. They were big on celebrating. In Exodus chapter 12, after God had delivered the Hebrews from their captivity and bondage by the Egyptians, they set aside a day when they would celebrate. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, Moses said, "This is the day you're to commemorate for all generations to come. You shall celebrate this day as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance," and they've been doing it every year since then. Celebrate. 1 Samuel chapter 11. Oh, the Hebrews wanted a king. They wanted a king. And God finally said, all right, you want a king. And he gave them a king. And Saul was confirmed. And in chapter 11 of 1 Samuel, sacrificed fellowship offerings before the Lord and before Saul. And the Israelites held a great celebration. Old Testament is filled with stories of celebration. Genesis 8:20, Noah built an ark to the Lord to celebrate the end of the flood. Abraham built an altar to the Lord to celebrate God's appearance before him in Genesis 12. Genesis 39, Jacob built an altar to the Lord at Bethel to celebrate God's deliverance from the wrath of his brother Esau. Exodus 24, Moses built an altar at the foot of Mount Sinai where he celebrated God's covenant with the people. And Joshua picked up 12 stones from the River Jordan as they went across the river, celebrating God's guidance and direction. They were finally there, the promised land. The Hebrews recognized the importance of celebration. They remembered what they had done. They recognized their accomplishment, that God had led them. They honored God as they celebrated. Well, back to Nehemiah. Celebration permeates the last half of Nehemiah's story. Chapter 6, verse 15, the wall completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. From that verse on, then chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, chapter after chapter of celebration. The wall's done. It's time to celebrate. Chapter 7, verse 1. After the wall had been rebuilt, and I'd selected the doors and placed the gatekeepers, and the musicians and the Levites were appointed. Musicians were going to lead choir, band, orchestra. The musicians were in place to lead the celebration. Skip over to chapter 8, verse 5. Ezra, the preacher, opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and said, amen, amen. And then they bowed down and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now, skip down to verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 9, my favorite part of this book. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest, and the teacher of the law, and all the Levites who were instructing the people, Nehemiah said, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Stop mourning, stop weeping, for the people had been weeping as they heard the words of the law. The preacher's preaching and the people are crying. Nehemiah said, but instead, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to God. But stop grieving, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people. It must have been Baptists saying, now wait, be still, for this is a holy day, but don't grieve. For all the people went away to eat and drink and send portions of food to celebrate with great joy because they understood the words that had been made known to them. Nehemiah said, it's time to party. No more weeping, no more mourning. It's a sacred day. It's a good day. The walls are complete. Have a party. That's good. Ezra just stood up to preach, and they all start crying and weeping and grieving. And Nehemiah says, what are you doing? There's a time to weep and a time to cry, but there's a time to have sweet drink and food, is what Nehemiah said. Celebration. Celebration must be a key ingredient in our lives. We have so much to celebrate. It must be a key ingredient in the life of the church, and I hope it is in your family. So the walls were done, but they still hadn't dedicated the walls, and that's chapter 12. The walls are being dedicated. Listen, beginning in verse 27. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived, and they all came to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The musicians were all brought together from all the regions around Jerusalem. Verse 31, I had the leaders of Judah go to the top of the wall. I assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One choir went to the top and went that direction. Now you scoot over in verse 38. The second choir proceeded in the opposite direction, and I followed them on top of the wall together with half the people. The two groups met. Verse 40, two choirs that gave thanks. Then they took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with half of the officials. Verse 43, and on that day, we offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given us great joy. The women and children, they rejoiced also. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far, far away. Celebrate. Yes, celebrate. Amen. So why is celebration really that important? I think we must celebrate and need to celebrate because it enables us to enjoy and reflect on what God has accomplished in us and through us. Too often in the church, we get so busy moving from one event to the next event, from one Sunday to the next Sunday, that we never stop long enough to celebrate and reflect on what God has just done. And that's just wrong. 2 weeks ago, we had Love Lufkin. The sanctuary was filled with over 250 purple shirts. We ate a quick lunch, and we went out in the community, and we loved Lufkin. We worked, we painted, we mowed. You did all your different things. And that night, the deacons had a great party for the staff, and we celebrated. But shame on us, the whole church, we should have last Sunday celebrated. We get so busy moving to the next event that we don't stop to celebrate what God does. We don't stop to look around to see what God accomplishes through us as we listen to Him. We just do it and go on. Do it and go on. We need to celebrate the many blessings that God gives us as individual believers. We need to celebrate day by day what God is doing in His church. I think celebration is important also because it inspires us and prepares us to get ready for the next task, because there's always another task in front of us. Even as Nehemiah and the Hebrews rejoiced in what God had accomplished in the building of this wall, when they reflected on what God had done, that they celebrated, but their celebration also reminded them that God was not finished. Celebration prepares us for the remaining tasks that are ahead of us as individuals. And as the church, celebration begins to place every event and every action in our lives into this larger context of God's overall purpose. It gets our attitude in the right place where we can say, okay, God, yay, now what? What's next, God? The month of November is an incredible month in the life of our church. Here's a warning, I shouldn't tell you this. Next week, I'm going to talk about the budget, the 2020 budget. That's enough to scare anybody away from any worship service. But I don't want you to be scared. I love it. It's a great thing to celebrate what God has done and what God is getting ready to do in the next year. With our finances, with all that we have as we give to God, we need to get ready for that in celebration. The following Sunday, this ordination, folks, this is big. When a church has the privilege to see four folks from within the church ordained and blessed and called out, it is rare, rare indeed. We need to, in celebration, be ready for that. And then it's Thanksgiving, as I told the children, the greatest holiday in all the calendar, when we stop long enough to celebrate the blessings God has given. And yes, then there's Advent, four Sundays of celebration, four Sundays of anticipation, of waiting and waiting for that great Christmas day. The Sunday after Thanksgiving, I'm going to celebrate the wedding of my daughter the Saturday night before. A lot to celebrate. And that next year, I'm going to celebrate poverty in my life after that wedding. Celebration is good. You know, preaching about walls can be a bit political in this day in which we live. But the wall in Nehemiah's day in Jerusalem was not a wall of division. It was a wall of unity for the people. Don't forget this Old Testament story. Remember Nehemiah's passion. Nehemiah's passion grew out of the conviction that he was God's person who had been called to carry out God's plan for God's people in that place. He had a passion for Jerusalem. Do we have a passion for our Jerusalem? A passion for Lufkin? There are walls all over our city which are broken, not physical walls. There are people who are hurting, who are lost, who this day are in such despair. They have no hope. They don't know of the hope that we have. Do we have a passion within us to love Lufkin? It's got to be more than a t-shirt. To really, passionately love our community. The passion alone is not enough. Nehemiah took that passion and through a season of prayer developed his plan of action. Remember, he went through one gate and went through this gate and looked around, and then he came to the people after on his horse all night trying to figure it out and said, this is what God longs to do. I asked you weeks ago, and Ina Jane led us in our prayer a few moments ago, have you been praying about the ministry of our church in the next year? It's easy, just let our church calendar happen. You know, we'll start in January and then we'll get ready and here will come the Lenten season and we'll move from Lent to Easter to the common year to the summer series and fall and we'll be back here before we know it. Are you praying about the ministry that our church can have in the year ahead? It'll take a lot of cooperation. Nehemiah knew it. They all started going in different directions. Some of them said, we're entitled to this. And others said, well, this is all that's important, tunnel vision. And some were just contrary. And Nehemiah said, no, we need each other. We've got to be together. We're all in this together. And he pulled them back in. Boy, we need that as a church. We must be unified. We must be on mission together. Conflict come. It did come. But Nehemiah had courage. Nehemiah had courage, and I don't know of any time that we need any more courage than we need in the day in which we live. Our families need courage to hang on. Young couples need courage on how to raise children in the day in which we live. We need courage on how to share the gospel and just how to do life. We need courage. Nehemiah said ridicule will happen and even physical violence is possible and internal conflict. But Nehemiah said, forget that. Keep our eyes on God and he pressed on. Nehemiah had the courage to believe, to move forward, to call the people together, to keep his focus on God, to persevere, and to keep going. It's not easy to do as a young adult. It's not easy to do as a senior adult. There are so many things happening around us, we just want to pull the covers over our head at 5:30 on daylight savings time Sunday and go to bed and hope the next day everything will be fine. But to persevere, to keep going, to press on, to commit, to finish, and to complete the task that God has given us. And when we do, like Nehemiah, we need to take a deep breath. We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate what God is doing in our midst, in spite of us, in our sinfulness and all of our mess. God still uses us. We need to celebrate what God has done in the past, what He longs to do in the future. Oh, church, celebrate. God's not finished yet. Celebrate, celebrate, amen. Shall we pray? God, we need a celebration revival. We need You to revive in us, in our spirit, a sense of celebration. We did it, we did it, we did it, yeah. With Your power, with Your influence, oh God, forgive us when we get so hung up on keeping a calendar and planning the next event that we don't stop and pause and look at what You've already done and celebrate. With sweet drink and good food, let us celebrate. And those who don't have reason to celebrate, let us tell them the reason of hope that we have in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of despair, in the midst of trial and tribulation. We can still celebrate because You, oh God, You're in it all. You're in it all. You're in it all. As we march on, as we move forward, let us celebrate indeed. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.